Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Wednesday, the 8th of July, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley. Starting today with Afterpay, we did a went in a bit of depth into Afterpay late last week. We mentioned that Citi had upgraded their buy-side rating on the stock to, it was 60, I think $64 a share. Lo and behold, guess what happened yesterday? There was an institutional share placement underwritten by Citi at $61.75. Very convenient there. They're raising a total of $800 million. The institutional one was $650, leaving $150 for a retail share purchase plan. It also involves allowing Anthony Eisen and Nick Molnar to sell down some of their enormous holding. Obviously, their wealth is now extremely concentrated in this company. The Afterpay share price closed yesterday at $68. So definitely a little easy cash win there for the retail shareholders as well, assuming all things are equal going forward. Okay, looking at the US now, the JP Morgan buy-side quant team, Nick Panagritzoglou, spotted an ominous signal for equities. He looked at the spread between the two-year forward and the one-year forward of the one-month US overnight interest rate swap rate, and it's shifted negative. So that obviously implies that, you know, the 2 years is lower now than the 1 year, which is an ominous sign for the market. So he mentions that while the spread between the 1 and 2 year forward points of the US overnight interest rate swap curve had improved rapidly and turned significantly positive after the dramatic policy response to the virus back in March, it has been slipping over the past couple of months and turned negative since last week. This suggests that markets are signaling the need for further monetary and or fiscal policy stimulus across the developed market economies. And logically, if the Fed turns a deaf ear to this latest extortion attempt by the market and additional stimulus is not delivered, then the inversion at the front could even get greater in magnitude, eventually becoming a more problematic signal for equity and risky markets going forward. So in short, if the Fed wants another market meltdown on its hands, it better preemptively stimulate and do so to the tune of trillions. So the US Fed has injected over $3 trillion since the sort of the market lows back at the end of March. And yeah, JP Morgan mentions that this is not enough. Okay, the same quant analyst at JP Morgan sell side came back a couple of days later, sort of backtracking a bit from his sort of ominous warning message with a more bullish equity message, saying that the amount of debt in the global financial system is growing so much, it's grown so much and continues to grow, that it's creating a really ultimately positive environment for equities. So similar to during the global financial crisis, the virus is causing a steep increase in the amount of debt in the financial system. The need to replace lost income is inducing more debt creation by both the private sector, but also by the government sector, via stimulus programs. According to the IMF, the global fiscal support in response to the virus crisis stands at around $9 trillion US dollars, which is 12% of global GDP. Now, obviously, global GDP is declining by about, expected by, decline by about 5% this year. It will mean government debt to GDP ratio globally will increase from around 88% at the end of 2019 to 105% by the end of 2020. Now, on top of that, we've also got bank lending to the private sector and net corporate bond issuance amounting to $5 trillion in the first half of this year. Assuming there's another $2 trillion in the second half, that would raise private sector indebtedness by another 9% of GDP or so. Now, that sort of in total, private and public sector means there's about $16 trillion in additional debt this year. So that will bring the total global total of debt, private and public, to $200 trillion US dollars by the end of this year. And then with the decline in GDP, that means we will have a 35% of GDP increase in global indebtedness this year, which is bigger than the 20% equivalent increase that we saw during the year after the global financial crisis. So what does this mean? So he's tying this in with the benefit this will have ultimately on equity prices. So more credit and more monetary stimulus in the form of QE both imply more liquidity, extra money supply and cash balances, which in turn would result in more asset reflation. As a result of all this extra liquidity, they estimate that the share of cash holdings in global non-bank investors' portfolios would have risen sharply in March and remains well above pre-pandemic levels, despite the nearly 40% rise in global equities that we've seen since the big recovery at the end of March. These elevated cash holdings create a strong background for support for non-cash assets such as bonds and equities, as we've seen, you know, in many times since the financial crisis. But the key argument they make for equities here is that bonds are pretty much fully priced. You know, there's less than 1% in the buck, there's global ag. So they say, we believe that most of this equity will eventually be deployed into equities as the need for precautionary savings subsides over time. So a very, you know, top-down argument there for equities taking off when the uncertainty subsides, which, you know, you could probably say that makes sense. The whole reason why a lot of investors aren't, me included, aren't pouring into equities at the moment is there's just a lot of unknowns in the earnings, which we mentioned in yesterday's program. Moving to the markets, nothing particularly exciting to say there. About 15 minutes after the US open this morning, it's largely flat, the S&P. The dollar is still at the same level versus the Australian dollar yesterday. And the only interesting thing is iron ore is sort of up about 1%, but it's still sort of off its recent highs. And that is your Australian Early Finance Briefing for Wednesday, July the 8th. Have a great day.